Good morning. So as George mentioned, we are going to switch up the prayer time a little bit today. And it's neat how the Lord connects dots for us with things. If you've seen the bulletin, hopefully you have a bulletin. If you don't, there's still some up here or around the way there. But Romans 12:12 on the front of the bulletin, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We have a lot of folks who are afflicted in a multitude of ways today, but particularly with physical illness, there's a lot of people who are really kind of down and out. Dale, not feeling well today. Of course, we want to continue in prayer for Roxanne and her treatments, for Jenny and Phyllis Pike, my mother-in-law, was in the hospital this morning, if you might have seen that on Facebook, and she's okay. She's doing all right. Kim took her over to the hospital, but I'll let her fill you in on what was going on, but she's fine. So praise the Lord for that, but we do need to lift her in prayer. A lot of things going on, you know, in our lives. We all have people who are hurting, and some of us are today. And that psalm that Ben shared today, Psalm 41, part of that, especially in the intro there, David is praying for mercy. I mean, he's seriously ill at the beginning of that. It seems evident from the psalm and praying for mercy for that illness and that God would bring healing to him. So kind of everything coming together, inviting God into our weakness and our brokenness and our illness and interceding for those around us. So instead of taking a lot of requests this morning, what I would like to do, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, time of prayer, but I would like you to just, you know, God hears you just as clearly as he hears me, and for all of us to lift up, allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind, to burden your heart for somebody that you need to be praying for right now. And to speak that name to the Lord, to lift that up. He invites us to bring those to him today and be expectant, to trust, to believe that he is going to hear and move powerfully to answer those for his glory. So I'm just going to guide us in a prayer this morning, and then we'll share the word of God. So if you would join me, are there any, I know one request that I did want to update you on, Billy Bean, Wanda's dad. They're going to try to put in a feeding tube tomorrow morning, and there's a lot riding on that as far as his treatment and what they're going to do. It's really important. So if you just remember to lift up Billy and the family in prayer, and that that God would bring his power and his will into that situation, and for good care for Billy and with the family as well. So. But allow the Holy Spirit to lay those burdens on your heart. I'm just going to share with you momentarily. Kim and I were out of state yesterday visiting some family, and they were just sharing some real deep hurt and brokenness in their church, and it grieved my heart just to hear the body of Christ suffering in that way. And so that's going to be something that my spirit's lifting up to the Lord today as we pray. But Mike, did you have something too? Yes, so Wanda Hernandez's dad, yeah, Billy Bean, yeah, he's been in the hospital and not doing too well. I know it's been kind of up and down, touch and go for a couple days, but yeah, there's a lot riding on this feeding tube, at least from a medical perspective. That's what the doctors are saying, so they're really hoping for success with this. So we definitely need to continue in prayer. And check out the community page on Facebook, too. We share prayer requests sometimes that don't get shared on Sunday. Get shared on there, and we can keep each other in prayer that way. And again, as George mentioned earlier, if you want to put anything down on a card, we've got those connection cards. You can put those and put them in the offering box, write down prayer requests, and we'll continue throughout the week to pray over those today. So let's just take our request to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to look to his word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you invite us to cast every care upon you expectantly, that we can have hope, we can have confidence in you, and that hope can be joyful. And so I pray, Lord, even as we feel a burden for ourselves or for a loved one today, and we lift up these prayers for you, Lord, help there to be an accompanying joy in our expectancy, that you're going to make yourself known because you're an awesome God and you're going to speak blessing and your goodwill into these situations, Lord, that you're going to make Jesus known and you're going to care for and shepherd people, Lord, as we lift up these prayers to you. And Lord, help us to be patient as we wait upon your answer. Help us, Lord, to have a joyful patience, Lord, knowing that you love these folks that you burden our hearts with today, that you love them far more than we do. And you're just waiting for those names to come across our lips so you can pour out yourself into that situation in a way that goes beyond what we're asking. We pray, Lord, that not only would we be burdened in this moment, God, but Lord, I know you want us to not just be a people who pray, but a people of prayer. So, Lord, I pray that throughout the week, even as your Holy Spirit prompts us now to come to you with these requests, Lord, that you want us to do that nonstop all through the week. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the faith to do that. God, we lift up these names to you now expectantly. Lord, we thank you for your answer to each of these prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you are the answer to the prayer that matters most, the prayer of our greatest need of salvation and transformation and to walk with our God, and that you give us yourself for that. We thank you, Lord, that your will is good and pleasing and purpose and perfect, and it's going to be accomplished in each of these prayer requests. Lord, give us a strong, vibrant trust in you as we wait upon your answer to these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3. If you turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is the last week that we're going to spend on this series that we've been in. And I'm not going to tell you who, but we're going to have a special guest here next week. You'll just have to stay tuned for that and come back. But it's going to be good. But we're looking at Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to talk about the invitation of the Holy Spirit. The invitation of the Holy Spirit. You know, I mentioned it there in that prayer, what we need the most. What you need most, what your spouse needs most, what your kids need most, your neighbors, your loved ones, your enemies, if you have any. Everyone needs the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel is the presentation of Jesus. It's the presentation of a redeeming God, a holy God who loves us so radically. He wants us in this intimate relationship with him that he came and went to that cross and took that sin upon himself, your sin, and took that willingly took the wrath of God, that your sins, past, present, and future, paid for so that you could enjoy his presence, that he could give you himself by his grace, that you could have this intimate relationship with him, you could have eternity with him, and that would be a reality. As soon as you trust in Christ, that you receive the Holy Spirit, and he works in your life to make God known to you. You know, Jesus, following his death and burial and resurrection and ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit. And he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell his church so that we could be transformed, so that we would have that vibrant, powerful faith that he wants us to have, that we would be good witnesses for him because it's empowered by the Holy Spirit as we share the Word of God, that people would be saved, that they would believe the gospel. And he wants us to share the gospel, not trusting in our ability. Sometimes I think one of the main things that hinder us from sharing the gospel is that we think, well, I'm not a very good spokesperson. I'm not a perfect spokesperson. I'm not that theological. You know, we come up with all these excuses of why we don't do it, but the reality is God has given us himself and his word, and his spirit empowers his word and implants that message, that seed into somebody's heart and gives new life. And we can't do that anyway. All he wants us to do is to take him at his word, to believe him and to share that gospel message and to rejoice in that, to not be ashamed of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The Holy Spirit, I believe, because it's so clear in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is inviting every believer to share the gospel. He is inviting you to share the gospel and for you to have a tender heart, to share it in such a way that you understand, hey, I'm a needy person too. I'm as much in need of that power of the gospel message transforming me and changing me as much as anybody else. And sometimes it's said that, you know, we're just beggars who know where the bread is, right? That we tell other people, listen, you've got this need for peace with God, and there's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God through faith, and you have got to put your trust in Jesus. You've got to repent. Turn away from the sin and turn towards God. Take him up on that offer of salvation. And that's us, right? We're not self-righteous. We're not to be people who think, and that's for those poor, lonely. No, that's for everybody. That's for all of us. And we can joyfully share, hey, I've received this gift. You can receive this gift. It has changed my life. I was out in public the other day and had out doing some shopping. I had this shirt, one of our Here's Hope shirts, and it says, "Ask me why I have hope." And I love it when people ask. And there was a young man stocking merchandise over at Dollar Tree, and he said, "All right, why do you have hope?" And I said, "Jesus!" And there was a lot of people. It was really great. So, because I'm... It was so cool. I said, "He is the Son of God. He has saved me from my sins." Woo! And it was just exciting, an exciting moment. He's like, "Yes, I was hoping you were going to say that." You know, the Holy Spirit is inviting all believers to share the gospel message. We've got a great message to share, a message that exalts Jesus. And we want everybody to know. We want everybody to believe. If you are here today or you are listening online and you're a non-believer, it might surprise you to know that the Holy Spirit has an invitation for you today. Amen. That he is speaking to you today. He wants everyone to come to Jesus Christ and put their faith in him. He's inviting you to respond today. To get honest, to agree with God that you are a sinner, that you've broken the law of God, that you need his forgiveness. And if you will just come to him and be honest, that you can experience peace and cleansing and pardon that we sang about a minute ago, and he can change you. He can change you from somebody who is just bent on rebelling and going your own way into being a child of God, to have a whole new life, and he can do that for you today. Well, wherever you are in your spiritual life today, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. I believe that he's going to use the Word of God to speak to you. And he wants you to pay attention. He wants you to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a humble heart to receive it today, to believe. So here in Hebrews 3 and verse 7, the word says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice," today if you hear his voice. Have you ever felt a prompting from the Lord and you just resisted for whatever reason? "Lord, I don't want to raise my hand and confess that. That'll be embarrassing. Lord, I don't want to go up to the altar. I might be the only one and look like I'm the only sinner in the house. Lord, I don't want to confess what you want me to confess. God, I don't want to." The Holy Spirit says, "Listen, today if you hear his voice, today if you hear his voice." I want to give a few good reasons before we continue for you to listen to the Holy Spirit today. If he prompts you in any way, and I know he is. If he prompts you today and he's speaking to you today, you need to listen to him because he's the third person of the Trinity. He's God. He's not just a force. He's not just some kind of force of the universe like gravity or electricity or just some kind of vague nudge. He is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is God, and if he is communicating with you, you need to listen to him as though God is nudging you and communicating with you. And if he brings direction and leading and guidance or whatever it may be, if he is speaking to you today, you need to listen to him. He is primarily going to do that through the Scriptures. He will never contradict the Scriptures. If you find yourself being reminded of something from the Word of God that you're like, why is that being impressed upon me? It's probably because that's exactly what you need to hear. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, and he is going to speak to you through the Word of God. The thing that he most often, most universally, is communicating to everybody through the Word of God is the gospel, because that's what we all need the most. The good news is all about Jesus. Everybody needs to have a gospel-centered life and a gospel-centered worldview. And that's why it's so important. That's why Scripture emphasizes so much the need for us to share the gospel, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. It's not us sharing the gospel. It's God sharing the gospel through us. It's not us loving on people. It's God loving on people through us. And it shouldn't ever be us getting any credit or glory for any result, because it's God who deserves all the glory. It's all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit not only uses the church collectively, he uses believers individually. I'll give you a bold prayer to pray. When you go out to the store later, as an individual, God, I just want to present myself to you. Here's my agenda. Here's why I think I'm at Walmart. What's your agenda? What's your plan? Because somebody around me needs to hear about Jesus. Somebody needs to hear there's a Redeemer. Somebody doesn't have peace with you and needs that. Who can I share that with, God? If I make myself available, I know that you want to guide me and lead me and speak through me to share the gospel message. Show me who it is, and I'll do it. I dare you to pray that today. And I ask you to hold me accountable for me to pray that, because sometimes I don't pray that as much as I should. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses." But you are witnesses with his message, right? The gospel. You were using the Word of God, presenting the Word of God in his power, trusting him, not trusting in your presentation. It is God himself who's present, who's making himself known. The Holy Spirit will also use things in your life to speak to you. He'll use events sometimes. He'll, you know, if he has to, he'll use a stroke. He'll use whatever. Amen. And he'll speak to you through things in your life. So be careful to, sometimes we're quick to judge, oh, this is obviously a blessing. This is obviously a trial. Sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes he's guiding us in ways that we don't immediately understand. So we need to present our understanding to him and say, Lord, I know that you are God, that you want to speak to me today, and give me clarity for what you have planned through this. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit today because of his divine purpose. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit today because of his divine purpose. His desire for you is good, always. His desire for you is good. It's not always easy. He's not always going to take you on a road that you would choose for yourself. But he will speak, for example, if you're unsaved, he'll convict you of your sin, and you won't like it, probably, at least not at first, right? He will speak hard truth to you about the result of your sin, that it has led to separation from God, that it has led to death, and it is going to lead to eternity in hell if you do not turn away from that sin and confess it and turn to Christ in trust, he'll convict you of that. If you are not a believer, he's going to speak to you about that, but he doesn't want to do that for your to harm you. It's to do you good. It's a godly sorrow that will lead to repentance. It's his power speaking truth and convincing you that there is a Redeemer that has dealt with that sin and drawing you to Jesus Christ. He wants you to experience the joy of salvation. He wants you to know life, that you have life eternal. He wants you to know hope and peace with God. He doesn't do it to make you feel bad about yourself. Sometimes as believers, when we're in our flesh, we'll want to talk about somebody's sin, right? But it's not always for their good. You know, sometimes it might be because we're kind of miserable or depressed or whatever, and it's just like, well, they should be miserable too. They're not better than I am. You know, misery loves company. And sometimes we can be kind of negative, but the Holy Spirit will use us sometimes to speak truth to people about their sin, right? But it's going to be in love. It's going to be because you care about that person, and hopefully they will speak truth to you as well about that. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel to transform us, to change us, to take us from unbelief to belief, from rejection to acceptance with God, from hopelessness to hope. And he'll use the loving kindness of God, that offer of mercy in the cross, to draw us to the Savior, to draw us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit also speaks not only to those who are in sin to repent and come to Christ, but also to those who are already saved. He'll bring comfort into your life. He'll speak assurance to you. Amen. Things that you need just to have hope to carry on another day and to go another step, he wants to give you that. That's part of his presence in your life. He wants you to know the goodness of God. And so the Holy Spirit will speak that encouragement that you need when you're depressed or down. He'll provide that help maybe through another believer, take you in a direction closer to Christ in your life when you get off track. And then he provides the power that you need to follow his direction. Because in your flesh, you won't. But he himself, he's the power you need to follow that direction that he gives you to overcome evil and to overcome sin, to experience change in your life. And he provides that. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit because of his divine power. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit because of his divine power. You know, the Bible tells us that it is the Holy Spirit who does this work inside of an unbeliever, this experience of being born again. It's of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit is nudging you, you better listen, because you're not going to get a better offer anywhere else, right? He's the one who's got the power to bring change and transformation. And if he is nudging you in any way, if he's, as a believer, if he's maybe convicting you about something, wanting to bring about more Christ-likeness in your life, don't put it off. Listen to him. Have a tender heart and receive that message. If he wants you to have a more gentle temperament like Jesus or whatever it may be, receive that from him. Don't ignore that. We're all long-term projects, right? You know, the Holy Spirit gives us patience with each other. God's not done with me. Is anybody else that God's not done with you? Thank you. He is not done with me. Sometimes we forget that, man. It's easy to be a hater sometimes and just like, man, they are not perfect like Jesus. Well, no kidding, neither are you. But his divine power is working in me and in you, even if I don't see it, right? Even if whatever it may be. We need to trust in that. We need to understand that he is taking us on this lifelong journey of just from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of God. And we are going to come to a place of complete victory someday. But it's a lifetime. It's not instantaneous that happens. It's a slow change of going from the grave to going to life. All right, that's enough of a prelude. We'll get into Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. I'll be quick. I'll move along here. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, when do we hear His voice? Today, right. We hear it today, and we hear it in the gospel. Listen, if you hear the gospel and you do not get excited and you're not filled with joy, you don't feel the presence of God when you hear the gospel, you need to just pause and have a heart check with God. The gospel is exciting. The 10,000th time you hear it, it is awesome news still, as much as it was the first time. Because it's about Jesus. And if you start getting bored with the gospel, you're getting bored with Jesus. That's a problem. I think for eternity, 100,000 years in, we're going to be learning new awesome things about Jesus. Always. We hear His voice in the gospel. We hear His voice in the Word of God, making Jesus known to us. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. We'll talk about that in a second, the testing in the wilderness. What's it mean to harden your heart? Who's bold and has an answer? Come on. What's it mean to harden your heart? What do you got? It's a great answer. Yeah. Yeah, it's where, listen, God has been speaking to you so long about His will for you and what He wants from you, and you resist it. And you continue to resist it ongoing to the point that you just, I can't hear you. After a while, it's like you can't even hear Him anymore. You know, the Word of God just becomes words on a page. And you don't hear the voice of God because you haven't applied what He showed you. You know, the Holy Spirit will, as you read through Scripture, He will apply a little pressure to move you a certain direction. But if you resist that and you resist that and you resist that, your heart can get hardened to where you just don't even hear Him pushing you that direction anymore. And so He cautions us, listen, you in your heart, don't resist the will of God. Embrace the will of God in your heart. Verse 9, where your ancestors tested and tried me, says the Lord. Where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. So what's it mean to try God? Anybody?
Not believing.
Not believe. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. Amen. You can. He is good. To try God, I think, has to do with your actions. It's like a spoiled little kid. Anybody else ever have two-year-olds? You know, that want to just push the envelope and push the envelope. No matter what, they know, you know, you say, here's the boundary, here's right and here's wrong, and I love you either way, but they just keep doing what you told them not to do. And you're like, why don't you understand? And they do. They do get it. They understand, you know, a lot of, but we can be that way. We can, you know, we know that the Lord, as believers, God wants us to have a Jesus-centered life. In your emotions, in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, in your relationships, everything in your life should be centered on Christ. If you're a believer, because He's worthy of that. But there's times that we just keep living a self-focused life, and we're like that little kid not doing what we know God wants and just kind of pushing, how far can I go before whatever, you know, time out, or I don't know what parents do these days, right?
Kind of like we just studied Samuel.
Yeah. Yep. We keep resisting and running away, and eventually it'll catch up with you. To where God says, you know, I love you, but I'm not going to spoil you or enable you. You need spanked. To where He's had enough. Verse 10, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray. They've not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger that they shall never enter into my rest. This is a quote from Psalm 95, which alludes to Numbers 13. If you recall Numbers 13, the spies going into the promised land. You guys know the story? Checking it out. God had said, I'm giving you this. Right? God had spoken. He said, this is this great place of blessing that I am saying is yours. Send these guys in to check it out. So they go in and they check out the promised land and they come back. And you remember what the 10 spies said?
Can't do it.
We're bugs, right? They go, it's an awesome place. It's a land flowing with milk and honey and goodness and blessing. It is great, but there are these guys who are like giants there. There's these fortified cities. And when we look at these guys that live there, these enemies, I mean, they are mighty. They are powerful. They are huge. And we are like grasshoppers, not only in our sight, but they view us that way. They're like, we can't do it. They didn't take God at his word. They doubted. They hardened their hearts to what he'd said. But Caleb and Joshua, what was their response? We got this. God said so, right? They're like, listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, they were like, we cannot be defeated. God said this is our land. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter who's against us. We can do it because God said so. God wants that kind of Caleb response from us. When he is speaking to you about what he can do in you and through you and maybe some hard things that you're scared of, his invitation is, will you just believe me? Will you take me at my word? Because if I said it, I'm going to do it. You know what happened with the people of Israel? They wandered around. That generation couldn't go into the promised land because God had something so good for them. And it wasn't necessarily going to be easy. And there's times God is going to guide you and speak to you. And what he's telling you is not an easy thing, but if you will just listen and do what he says, he knows what's best. And it is going to be a place of goodness and blessing, even if it's hard. And he will accomplish exactly what he says. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb. We need to be people who believe what God says, who just listen to God. And we need to be people who speak that goodness of God to each other, that we would have confidence in him together as a people. In the 1996 Olympics, there was a woman named Carrie Strug. Does anybody else remember the gymnast Carrie Strug from back then? Do you remember that? It was an awesome, awesome happening. Yeah, Team USA as a team was set up to win the gold. And she was, her expertise was the vault, horse vault or whatever they call it, the vault where you jump. And on her first run, all she had to do was just land a decent, it's her best event. All she has to do is land it and they've got the gold. You guys remember what happened? She wiped out. She hit the vault. She came down and collapsed and just her ankle, I don't know, it was bad. Blew out her ankle. And she just laid there suffering and pain and just crying. And I mean, so upset for her team and for what had happened. And she's just like, she couldn't even walk. How is she supposed to do this? She had another run. She was allowed another run to go and she was just ready to quit. She was like, I can't do this. I can't even walk. And her coach was standing on the sidelines there, and he said, Carrie, I believe in you. You can do it. I believe in you. You can do it, Carrie. And she got up and dragged herself to the starting spot. She couldn't even hardly walk. How's she supposed to run and land this thing? Afterwards, she was interviewed, and they asked her, how in the world did you make that second attempt and land that thing and win the gold for the U.S.? Because she did. How could you possibly do that? And she said, I didn't have the courage to go on, but I looked at my coach, and he had the courage for me. And she said, my focus on him was greater than the focus on my pain. And I just tuned into him that no matter what I thought and no matter how I felt and no matter how injured and hurt and broken I was, that I could receive that encouragement from him and I could do it. I could do the impossible because he believed. Encouragement, it literally means to pour courage into. Verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end. In other words, at the end, that perseverance is going to prove that it was genuine when you trusted in the Lord. That original conviction's about the person of Jesus, that he is your Savior and you've trusted in him and his perfection, not yours. We hold fast to that. We hold fast to the goodness of Jesus. We hold fast to the faithfulness of God. We hold fast to the gospel message. We hold fast to his grace because sometimes, even as believers who are on his team, we collapse and we're broken and we're in pain and we're hurting. And we're like, I can't do this. Verse 15, as has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. The Holy Spirit is inviting you. If you have never taken God at his word, if you have never believed what he says, which is, you have broken my law. There's a lot of really good definitions in the Bible of sin, but one of the best ones is that you've broken his law. He's got a perfect law, and you've sinned against it. And if you are here today and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you've broken that law, and the Bible says that the standard for the presence of God, the standard to be in his presence and with him in heaven is perfection. And you do not have it. None of us do in ourselves. We've all broken his law. We've all gone astray. But his invitation is for everybody. His invitation is just to accept, to believe, to confess what he says, which is, God, I'm a sinner. You are right about me. I am somebody who has not lived perfectly. I have broken your law, and I have not met the standard that you have set, which is yourself, but you sent your son to save me. Your son died to save me. He paid for my sins on that cross, God. Your word says so, and I believe it. And I receive that today. I receive that cleansing, that pardon, that new life, Jesus. It's by grace. You know, you can't earn it. And if you're struggling to believe that, he'll even give you the faith to believe. If you'll just ask him, if you'll just say, Lord, help me. Convict me of my sin. Help me, Lord, to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Cleanse me and make me new. He'll do it. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. One of the most terrifying, heartbreaking things for me as a pastor is that somebody's going to sit and hear the gospel again and again and resist it and resist it and resist it and think they have tomorrow and they don't. Today's the day. He has not promised you tomorrow in this world. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. accept his acceptance of you based on what he did. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you are a redeeming God who forgives sins. That today is the day that you are making people who have taken up weapons of rebellion against you and making them dearly loved children. Today is the day that you are taking people who are spiritually dead and giving spiritual life, God. That today is the day that people who have never experienced peace with you for the first time are going to experience that peace. Thank you, Lord, for what your Son has purchased for us. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is bringing that invitation to come to the Father through the only means, through Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, Lord. And thank you that you are giving an opportunity in this moment, Lord, that you don't have to give. But you're a good and gracious and merciful God, and you long for people to have a great opportunity to have a moment to hear from you and say, that's me. I want peace with God. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit is speaking to my brothers and sisters here today as well, Lord, for those who are already in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the bond of unity and the bond of love that your Holy Spirit brings, Lord, to people who are very different from each other. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit works through us to share your love and your encouragement, and it's like peanut butter. It's sticky. And it just holds us together, Lord, as a family. God, I pray for each of us, Lord. Love somebody through us today in a way that only you can do. Maybe one of my brothers and sisters today feels like they have been out in the desert. Maybe they didn't believe something you said when you were offering grace and change, and because they didn't believe, or maybe because of me, Lord, that they're spiritually just kind of walking in the desert today, and your Spirit is saying, come and be refreshed. You don't have to wander out there anymore. God, we pray and believe that today you're going to help each of us take a next step with Jesus, that he's going to be glorified in our lives, and he's going to be made known through your people. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the peace with God, the peace of God. Thank you for your grace, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and